Imagine Republicans criticizing investment banking as a bunch of job-rating predators who care more about investors than workers. That's exactly what a Newt Gingrich advocacy group is doing to attack former private equity investor Mitt Romney in 10 minutes.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Now here's a bit of Americana.
Here it comes from the Bob Barker Studio at CBS in Hollywood. It's The Price is Right. Kristen Bettencourt, come on down.
Yes, Bob Barker calling those wide-eyed American consumers down. Come on down and do what you do best. Shop.
Reginald Davis, come on down!
The game show The Price is Right is the same suspenseful scene over and over. How much is that toaster?
There are two numbers in the price of the toaster. Using three of those numbers, write down. Using two of those three numbers, write down the price of the toaster. Go ahead, Joy. Toaster. Write it down. $50. No, try again. $58. No, Joy.
For that luggage.
Go, Joy, go. You lose your turn. $805. Joy, Joy. Help her, audience. She needs help.
Hey, you American consumers aren't very good at this.
A gorgeous chandelier.
$1,200 for Dixie, what for Jonathan?
$1,300.
Janie.
Bob, I want that chandelier, $1,225.
Dorita bids.
$1,320.
And you have all overbid. Too bad. Right again.
But you'll get it eventually. And win the toasters and the luggage and the prizes.
And here comes the first Plinko chip. He's actually aiming.
But hold on. Why should this game show work? If you think about it, why should guessing a price of a common household item be hard? Why should it be a mystery? And why would consumers get prices of goods they see every day, goods they covet and dream of buying probably? Why should the price be any kind of a puzzle?
Three numbers, $583. Joy, you're straying from the path here.
Hey, I love The Price is Right, but why does it work? A new Yale University study called Overestimating Others' Willingness to Pay, published in the Journal of Consumer Research, suggests that there is a powerful tendency in the U.S. to overestimate how much other people are willing to pay for all kinds of everyday items like DVDs, books, sporting goods, and iPhones. Joining us now is Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
You know, this is kind of fascinating in a sense because it's really not about guessing the price of an object. It's about wading through all the marketing and the packaging and the images we have of all kinds of objects to get to the actual value, the actual price. And that's really hard in this economy.
It is really hard. I mean, you remember from Economics 101 when they showed you the supply and the demand curves, and that's supposed to come up with the price. But the truth of the matter is no one really knows what the demand is. And what this Yale study showed is that people tend to think that everyone else is the chump, that, you know, everyone else will pay way more than I will pay for this thing. But then the fact of the matter is when they go around and see what all those other people would pay, they wouldn't pay more. And so this is kind of a self-delusion. We see it all around us. We see it in the housing market, for instance. So, you know,
Right. People
notoriously have been listing their houses over and over again at a certain price. It's not selling at that price, but they think, oh, there's someone out there that will pay this. And then they have to painfully bring it down. On the flip side, if you're a buyer, if you're looking at holiday sales or if you're looking at buying a house, you have to think, okay, Will the price drop? Will someone else come in and pay this or not? Because if someone else will come in and buy the house at this price, I might as well grab it now. But if I can wait out. So we do this calculation in our brains every single day. What will other people pay? And this study shows that a lot of us get it really wrong.
And the assumption is, though, that whatever price we're looking at, that's malarkey. And it allows marketers and consumer goods manufacturers to really inflate demand by giving attributes to objects like chandeliers and the Price of Right, Price is Right, you know, aspirational qualities that make them more valuable to us. Or the iPhone, it's a really sexy thing. No, it's just a phone. You know, that sort of thing. So we pay more because we have a different image of the product because of all of its marketing and packaging.
That's true. And of course, you know, the big thing here is the brand on something. You know, why do you pay more for a Louis Vuitton purse than you do for some generic purse? And that's where putting the price on something's really tricky when the good itself isn't really any better, but there's just supposed to be this kind of brand effect, this kind of cool effect by wearing Guess jeans. You know, the other thing about this study that is interesting is lots of research has shown that when you ask people how they rate themselves against others for positive qualities.
Like being price savvy, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Right. People always rate themselves better than others. And they rate themselves, if you say a bad thing, they think everyone else does this bad thing more than they do. And so this seems to imply maybe that people think that being frugal is good because they're saying that they would spend less. And maybe people think that, you know, other people don't have self-control.
My wife would certainly say that my middle name is Get Ripped Off. She, on the other hand, is very, very frugal, very, very smart. You know, it's interesting to me that if you get out of the United States and go to a place, say, in the developing world where there's a much more limited set of things to buy, people have a really clear sense of what the price is. And it's just not a subject that there's much mystery about at all. That's interesting, too.
That's very interesting. And, you know, something this study made me wonder about, which ties to that, is how did the years of easy credit that we had in the United States distort our understanding of money? Because, you know, in a lot of, you know, third world countries and other places, they haven't had the kind of borrowing and easy credit that we had. So maybe they really understand that a dollar out of their pocket, you know, is equal to a certain thing. But when we could just charge it all on credit cards and pull the money out of our house in the form of home equity loans, maybe we lost track a little bit about the true value and price. This study does not address this, but I'd love to see a study on kind of over time how our pricing ability has changed with the availability of credit.
Well, it reminds me of when I used to live in Israel. Israelis pay cash for cars, and they have a huge tax that the government adds to tax. And they know down to the cent what a car costs, whereas I have no idea because of the way we buy cars in the United States. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times, talking about this Yale University study called Overestimating Others' Willingness to Pay. Thanks, Louise.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.